This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Baby Daddy, written by Lauren Landish, performed by Nelson Hobbs and Brittany Presley.
Chapter 1. Rose. I flip through the rack of dresses looking for the sparkly black one I know will be perfect. My boutique has a lot of things, but one item that I do better than anyone in town is dresses. Proms, weddings, engagements, whatever. You want something unique for that special day, I'm the woman you see. The problem is, I think to myself as I go through the next rack, I'm running out of space to keep everything on the floor. Prom dresses aren't exactly like selling lingerie. They take up a lot of space. Just when I'm about to grunt in frustration, I see it. I've got a sorting system for all of my dresses. I just have a problem remembering what exactly that system is at times. Aha! Find it, dear? Asks my customer, a lovely middle-aged woman who's been trying on dresses for an hour now in preparation for her 20th anniversary. She wants something special, and as I pull out the hanger, I know she's going to be happy. Slinky, but not skin-tight, with a spray of jewels on the left side of the top. It's perfect for a woman who wants to look sexy without showing too much skin. Found it, Mrs. Alameda. You'll have to pick your husband's jaw up off the floor if you wear this on your night out. I slip the dress past the dressing room curtain, a smile taking over my face as I hear her gasp in delight. It's a good dress, one I picked up online for a lot less than it should have been from a designer who sells one-of-a-kind pieces on Etsy. I'm not one to care about names, but if the dress looks great, I'll snatch it up for myself or for the store. It's perfect, thanks, Rose. She comes out of the dressing room, and I'm impressed. She's rocking that dress like nobody's business. Woo-wee! You wear that, and you're going to be getting the attention of more than your husband. Hope you know you're going to be causing whiplash. Mrs. Alameda blushes, running her hand through her long, thick black hair, and she shrugs a little. Well, as long as John enjoys it. But I feel like we need some accessories. I finish for her before she can start the negative self-talk. Sure. Retail therapy isn't as good as a shrink, but I try my best without screwing my customers. I know just what'll go with this. A little more rummaging around, and I find a long necklace with pearl accents that goes great with the dress, and a pair of peep-toe booties, too. What do you think? I think, she says, grinning, that I'm going to have a really good anniversary. 10 minutes later, Mrs. Alameda is on her way to knock her man's socks off. Or maybe his shorts, if things go according to plan. Another happy customer, I say to myself, warm with the satisfaction of a job well done, as I lock the door behind her to close for the day. Totaling out the register for the day, I'm thrilled to see the daily receipts match the running sum I always keep in my head. I quickly export the info into my accounting software and do a little wiggling shake of celebration as I realize my sales are on track to make this my best month yet. At least I'm a rousing success in this area of my life. I've worked incredibly hard since graduating college with both business and marketing degrees, making my dream of owning my own boutique a reality. I hadn't known a single person when I moved to Great Falls, a sleepy little suburb nestled in the shadow of the surrounding mountains. With a university just to the south and the promise of a growing ski and mountain resort trend, all things had pointed to it being an up-and-coming destination spot. What sealed the deal for me was the throwback Main Street vibe to keep that small-town feel for visiting tourists. It was perfect for me and my new venture, the Mountain Rose Boutique. I don't know if it's magic or not, but since the new Mountain Spirit Resort went in and my friends Michaela and Brad opened their salon down the street from me, my customer base has definitely grown. I've turned the corner and I'm kicking ass and taking names. Every day I help people create fashionable looks that represent who they are or sometimes who they want to be. I scour fashion magazines and decide which trends will sell to my demographic, and I order thoughtfully to make sure the profit margin stays well into the positives. I think my main strength is that I give each customer what I think is best for them and work to make sure they walk out looking their most awesome, whether it's tight pants, long or short cuffs, high waists, low waists, whatever. So yeah, I'm a boss bitch. I love every facet of owning my own business. The people, the clothes, the marketing, the strategy, all of it. It's definitely a good thing I love it so much, because it's basically all I have. The boutiques spend my whole focus for years now, taking up every minute of my days and nights, overwhelming my mind with swirling ideas and requiring every drop of my spirit. At first, it was because I couldn't afford to do it any other way. I had plenty of weeks where I ate cheap ramen noodles for dinner because that was all I could afford. I'm not quite at the level of eating filet mignon or fresh Atlantic salmon nightly, but that's okay. It's been worth it. Until now. Something about achieving a level of success I'd barely dared to dream of has me thinking, now what? I'm satisfied with my life, I guess. But I really thought by now I'd have a husband, a couple of kids, and a white picket fence. Hell, maybe even a dog or a cat. But none of that has happened. Seriously, who gives a damn if I've sold a ton of dresses that made women look fabulous? I don't want my headstone to read, "Here lies Rose Samuelson. She really knew how to make a bitch look her best." I'd like to have more than that. But no man has walked into my women's clothing boutique to sweep me off my feet. The closest I've gotten is Brad, who co-owns the salon down the street with my friend Michaela. And while he's basically my new bestie, he's definitely not the type to sweep me off my feet. More likely, Brad would swish about until his boyfriend Trey swept him off his feet, and neither would even notice me with all of my girliness. So no Mr. Right for me yet. Which is understandable. He'd have to come in here because it's basically the only place I go besides home. And if he's looking for women's clothing, he's probably either married or a crossdresser. And while there's nothing wrong with cross-dressing, I really don't share my clothes well, so that's out. And a married guy is definitely on the no-go list. I've joked about getting a cat, something to keep me company at home and curl up under the desk at the boutique, but Brad says that's a surefire way to run off customers. "Especially with the amount of silky fabrics you have here, honey," he'd said the last time the conversation came up 2 months ago, fingering a slip set I had on display. "The claws and fur would turn this into a tufted ball of fuzz in 2 days. I'd laughed when he'd fake hissed and scratched the air like a bitchy kitty. But I realized he was right. A cat in a clothing store does sound like a match made in hell. "Great," I grumbled, as he did a full Z-snap of victory when I admitted he was right. "But you know, my biological clock is ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Besides, it's not the cat I really want. It's the husband and kids." "Yeah, well, I'm not gonna string you along. You're my bitch and all, but even as cute as you are, I just can't help you with that little issue," he says with a grimace as he gestures to my crotch. "I don't swing that way for any woman. Trey would kick my ass, and not in the fun way like at the gym where I get treats afterward." I laugh now at the memory as I finish sweeping the floor, but the laughter seems forced. My biological clock never seems to stop its annoying little song deep in my core. I'm only 30, but it's so damn loud sometimes. I'll see women walking along Main Street with squishy little babies bundled up tight in soft blankets, all cozy in their strollers. The ones that really pierce my heart like an arrow are the moms kissing their babies' heads as they bounce along in a sling across the mom's body, heart to heart with each other. That sight is always a bittersweet moment for me. So sweet, and so not me. I sometimes wonder what my baby might look like. I imagine fluffy tufts of hair the color of silk like my blonde locks. Maybe even blue eyes. Somehow the dad's coloring never plays into my fantasy, since he's an unknown and it's my dream. I mean, when I've had fantasies, they've run the gamut and are all equally impossible. Jason Momoa hasn't walked into my store anytime recently, and neither has Ryan Phillippe. I'd take either one. I'm not choosy. Shaking my head to let the imaginary baby drift away, I gather up my things and head home. To my empty house. Again. Chapter 2. Rose. Curled up on the couch, halfway through my takeout fettuccine Alfredo, I sigh. There's a rerun of some old sitcom on, although I have no clue what it is or even what the episode's about. One of the dangers of cable, I guess. You can easily veg out, and the box isn't going to stop pumping sound and video into your living room. "What the?" I wonder, setting down my fork. The fettuccine is cold. I'll probably have to nuke the stuff to make it halfway palatable again. But that's not what's roused me from my stupor. Looking around my small living room, I blink for a moment before there's another knock at the door. Oh, just a second. I climb off the couch and hurry over, opening up to find Brad leaning against the frame. Before I can say anything, he looks me up and down and starts tisking me. Girl, you own the premier fashion institute in town. The one and only person I trust to find me accessories, yet currently you look homeless, and not in the distressed chic scissor-slashed way. After completing his head-to-toe summary of my disheveled appearance, he sashays in, not bothering to wait for an invitation. The brassy bitch. I stare after him, knowing that if anyone else barged in on my downtime, I'd be pissed. But Brad is allowed certain privileges, since he's my nearest and dearest in Great Falls. But that doesn't mean he gets a free walk. It's called Comfort Homeware, Brad. You should try it sometime. Unclench your nuts from those skinny pants. Mm-hmm. He says, not disturbed at all. Trust me, honey. I get plenty of chances to freeball in my free time. I groan, closing my door as Brad heads to the kitchen. Well, then I get plenty of dress-up time, too. And now it's my dress-down time. But please, no freeballin' now. Touché. Fine. I'll stay dressed appropriately, and you can stay... like that. I can hear the smirk in his voice as he roots around in the cabinets. As his head pops up, he lifts a green bottle. All right, I hereby call this night to order. Initiate wine and dinner. I brought chicken and feta salads, but I see you've jumped the gun and started in on the pasta. Thankfully, this Chardonnay goes well with both. I laugh at how comfortable he is, taking over the evening without so much as a second thought. Fine, I reply, elbowing my way past his thin frame to head over to my cabinet. I grab him a plate and pull down two wine glasses. I brought home enough pasta for us to split if we share the salad too. Shaking his head sadly, Brad starts putting salad on one plate, leaving a good chunk of it in the bowl he brought it in. No pasta for me. Trey has me counting my carbs, and pasta and cream sauce would be my allowance for days. Salad only. Looking back down at my previously delicious plate with a frown, I sigh and stick the rest of it in the fridge. Yeah, going over to Casa di Rossetti is probably not the best choice, but it was fresh and hot, and the best part, I didn't have to cook it. Brad laughs and uncorks the bottle. I know just what you mean, girl. And if I could, I would. But considering my trainer also sees me naked, it serves me well to follow his nutrition plan. Otherwise, I hear it from both my trainer and my boyfriend. Hell no on that. Grinning, I think of Brad's boyfriend. They met at the gym. Where else, I guess? What started out as a free trial trainer consultation progressed to Brad asking Trey out a few days later. They hit it off pretty quickly and have been inseparable and adorable ever since. Yeah, I'm a little jealous. Where is Trey tonight? Figured y'all would be out. Brad shrugs and does little air quotes with his fingers. He had a work emergency down at the gym. He's a personal trainer, I note, confused. How the hell does he have a work emergency at 9 on a Friday night? Brad sighs and takes a sip of his wine before he continues. It's fine. One of his high-paying clients had a schedule change this week, so their regular time had to move too. I look down my nose at Brad for a moment, considering what he said for a moment before airing my worries. Does that, concern you? Late-night impromptu training session sounds like a cover if I ever heard one. No offense, Brad, but Trey is hot as fuck, and you two did hook up at the gym. Brad smirks, draining about half of his glass before getting a refill. Not in the least. His client is a cougar, of the human-female variety. She's a professor at the university, who's got a conference in Italy next week, and I think she wants to sample more than the local cannoli. So I'm thinking my hottie is just fine. Maybe not as fine as me, he says as he pops his ass out in his signature move. But for reals, have you seen his ass? My man is fine. I bust out laughing because while Brad might be over the top, he is right about Trey. He's a good-looking guy, all muscle and skin so smooth I might consider killing for it, and a bubble butt that no man should ever, ever have naturally. Settling on the couch with our plates and glasses of wine, we catch up on work. So how's the Triple B? Oh, salon's going well. We're rolling for the winter formal season. I bet that's a good time for you, too. Not too bad, I admit. Most of the stuff for the next few months is rentals. High school kids can't afford to buy, but that still means a lot of good money in the register. And let's face it, being able to dry clean and then sell some of those dresses later is sweet. I remember my prom, Rad says, giggling. I ended up giving the captain of the football team a blowjob in the locker room. 10 minutes later, he and his girlfriend were elected king and queen. What about you? Me? I reply with a small sigh. I've actually never been to a dance. Like, ever. I went to a high school that thought proms were too old-fashioned for modern times. So no dance, no king and queen. Although they did have student leaders take a lap around the track at the homecoming football game. The winners my senior year were two girls who were the farthest thing from leaders as you could get, unless you wanted to be led to the liquor aisle at the pick and go. After high school, I buckled down in college, just studied and never went to a single party. And now, in the blink of an eye, here I am. Never been danced. Although, I've definitely been kissed. I laugh at my own bad joke, but it's half-hearted. Brad catches a hint of wistfulness in my tone and sets his glass down, leaning forward. What's wrong? I shrug and drain my first glass of wine before holding it out for a refill. Same as always. Nothing to get your panties in a twist. I'm thrilled with everything I've accomplished at the boutique, but there's just a big void where I thought my personal life would be by now. All I do is work, work, work. And while I love that song, as a description of my life, it sucks. Brad hums and refills my glass. All right, so you want the whole hubby and 2.5 kids deal? Hit Tinder, hit eHarmony, find a guy who's after the same things and go for it. They can't be that hard to find. If only. Ugh, blind dates, swiping left and right, and matching all just sound like heartbreak. Finding a guy is the hard part. You know what I sort of miss, Brad?
You mean besides a man?
He asks and I nod.
What?
I've never done anything really out there. I mean, I was serious in high school, even more serious in college, and then I jumped into the boutique and I've been basically living there ever since. I've accomplished my to-do list, but maybe I didn't realize that I should have had things like do something wild, meet Mr. Wrong and Mr. Right, get married and have babies on the list too. As I list things out, I make check marks in the air. Brad shakes his head, sipping his wine again.
So do something crazy. You don't need a guy to have a baby. Tackle both goals at once. Have a whole, I am woman, hear me roar moment, and do it the turkey baster way.
You'd be a great mom. My jaw drops in shock, and I double check my glass just to make sure I have downed only one. Turkey baster way? What the hell are you talking about? Like, get inseminated? I don't think I could do that. Brad lifts an eyebrow and drains his first glass.
Of course you can. Single moms are all the rage now. Well, really, I think they've always been a thing, considering my mom raised me alone and look how fabulous I turned out. But there's no stigma these days, just one of many ways families are made. You could totally do it.
Brad judges my reaction, his grin widening.
You're thinking about it. You are! Where's your laptop? Give it to me, bitch!
Well, I guess there's no harm in just looking. But that's all it is, okay? I don't think wine and artificial insemination mix.
Nope,
Brad says while doing a quick Google search.
Wine tends to help with the natural way, though. That's been going on for thousands of years.
The dry humor helps, and in moments, we're on a website full of the do's and don'ts of artificial insemination. It's not trashy or desperate, as I thought it could be. And Brad nods. A few more clicks, and he's in a database of sperm donors. All available for purchase for artificial insemination.
Okay, hocus pocus, tell me your dream, baby daddy, and we'll cook him up right here.
There's a series of drop-down fields, and I answer them in turn. Tall, over 6 foot for sure, dark hair, brown or black, I don't care about his eyes. Teeth, well, I don't want anyone snaggle-toothed, I guess, but, I mean, who cares, right?
You'd be surprised. Brad says, clicking away. Education level?
I think, but it's really not that hard. I don't care if he's a doctor or anything, but I want him to be smart. Brad nods and clicks a few times.
And here we go.
Admittedly, I'm shocked when multiple options come back from my criteria. I mean, seriously, where are all these tall, dark, handsome, smart guys in my life? There have to be some around here, if I actually got out a little. But here I am, looking at a website full of men who match all of my boxes. We click around at the different listings, some with pictures and some anonymous. As we start going through the profiles, Brad chuckles. What about Tyler here? Says he makes soap. Does not, I giggle. It says he's a plastic surgeon. Which means those dimples for damn sure aren't natural, Brad laughs. Michael? Looks like he'd be a lumberjack, I protest. Beards might be in fashion with some guys, but he most certainly needs a trim. Good point. What about Rex? I pretend to gag, shaking my head. Oh, hell to the no. He looks like Pee-wee Herman. Brad throws up a hand and gives me a look. Fine. You tell me. Who's your type here? I look up and down the list and point out one with piercing green eyes and a clean-shaven jaw that looks strong enough to slice through steel. Here's one. Whoa, that Superman could save me any day. Brad hums, nodding as we pull up the profile.
6'4", 225? Too bad for me he's straight.
How can you tell? I ask. It's just a picture.
Trust me, Brad says. I've got an eye for it. Now, Don here. Just no.
Brad hisses, shaking his head with distaste.
Jesus, girl. He looks like Jeffrey Dahmer and Charles Manson had a baby.
Lord have mercy, I say with a laugh, almost thinking the same thing as I see one scary-looking dude with a mullet. Brad lets out a harumph, turning the picture to the side.
Well, I don't know, girl. From this angle, he does look kind of cute.
Don't even start, I say dangerously, cutting my eyes. We both stare at each other for a moment before erupting into gales of laughter. After an hour of looking and the rest of the bottle of wine, Brad leaves. But not before one last parting shot.
Figure out what you really want and go get it. If it's a man, you've got to get out there. But if it's the baby, just get yourself some baby batter and call it done.
I know he's right, but I'm not really sure which of those options is what I want. Instead, I crawl into bed, not even bothering to clean up the dishes or brush my teeth. It can wait. Chapter 3. Rose. Psst. I look up from my laptop to see Hillary Youngman, one of my youngest customers, even if she's normally just in for costume jewelry, giving me huge eyes. Yeah, Hillary? I ask, minimizing my browser where I'm shopping for some new dresses to stock. Why are you whispering? Is that... You know, she says, tilting her head slightly to her left. I glance over to the tall, leggy, raven-haired woman who's currently looking through racks of coats. From Westworld, I nod. She's staying up at the resort, I comment, just taking a break from filming. You mean, Hillary says, her eyes going wild. She talked to you? My celebrity customer glances over at Hillary, whose voice went up a bit too high at the last comment and smirks. I get it. I've had enough celebrity customers in the boutique over the past 6 months that I've gotten used to it. Some want to live the celebrity lifestyle. They want their asses kissed, but only in the ways they want them kissed. Thankfully, most of those avoid my boutique. I get the others, who are either normal people who work a rather unique job, or better yet, those who understand that their public persona means people might go nuts like Hillary is and are happy to interact with fans. In this case, my customer is the best kind. Excuse me, she says in that lilting British accent that I find charming. I could use some help. I'd be happy to, I reply, but I see her shake her head slightly. I get the message. But, Hillary, would you mind helping me out? I think you might understand what she needs more than I do. Hillary goes over, and I know I should be excited. She's going to have a great story to tell. And probably a little bit of gossip to share later. Win-win for the boutique. Instead, my brain has swirled on Brad's parting words last night over and over, and I've been perusing the sperm donor site every time there's a lull in the shop. Thank God for multiple tabs in a browser. I've been looking at it so much that I'm actually starting to think it might be a good idea. God help me. I've picked out a couple, but one is really the front runner. The guy that Brad and I both agreed looked like Superman just keeps popping up in my mind, and I checked the website. They'll deliver nationwide. During lunch today, I even went down the rabbit hole of a few recipient forums where they talk about the whole process. "Hey, Rose," Hillary calls, submerging herself fully into her role as assistant. "What's the price on this one? The tag fell off." I glance over to see her holding up a faux leather jacket that I think is way too thin for when we get into deep winter, but right now it should look chic and sexy up at the resort in the evenings. $175, but it's faux leather. "Perfect for me. I'll take it, and that should be all for now." Hillary brings up the jacket and I ring up the total, $900. I offered to give a discount because she volunteered to take a selfie with me and Hillary to post on her Instagram and Facebook pages, but she wasn't having it. After they leave, I go back to my browsing, biting my bottom lip. Time to fish or cut bait, I think. Closing my eyes, I take a big breath. I make my choice. I'm doing this. I'm really going to do this. Tick-tock away, you bastard clock. I'm taking the bull by the horns, controlling my own destiny, and fate had better watch the fuck out because I'm in charge. I go to the front door of the boutique, flipping a sign to say back in 10 minutes, and grab my phone, dialing my doctor. "Dr. Eldridge's office," the nurse Melina greets me. "How can I help you?" "Melina, it's Rose Samuelson. How are you doing?" "Oh, it's a good day, Rose. How's the boutique? Got anything especially cute in?" "Check my Facebook later and you'll see a great selfie I just took," I reply. "But in the meantime, think Dr. Eldridge can fit me in for a checkup?" "Just a checkup?" Melina asks, and I feel a flutter of nervousness. "Damn it, Melina, it's not your business. If I want to do a checkup because I want to do mail-order baby-making, that's my business." I swallow back my biting reply, knowing she's just doing her job. "Yeah, if you don't mind." Melina hums, and I tap my foot impatiently. A few seconds later, though, she comes back. "Okay, Rose, I looked through Dr. Eldridge's schedule, but he's going on vacation next week, so for just a checkup, it might be a little bit. But we'll see you soon, and I can call you if he has any cancellations." "That's fine," I reply, knowing that I could sweet-talk Brad into covering for me last minute if they do get a cancellation. "I'll see you in a few weeks. And if I get a cute outfit in that I think you'll like, I'll show you some pics." I hang up, feeling a new lightness. Step one of Project Have My Baby complete. This calls for a celebration. To hell with it. The Mountain Rose is closing a bit early today. Knowing that Brad and Trey are probably going to be busy making up for their missed date last night, I decide to celebrate on my own. A toast, if you will, to single motherhood. Grabbing one of my just-in sexy new dresses off the rack and enjoying the hell out of the employee discount, I slip into the dressing room and change. A glance in the mirror tells me all I need to know. My spun silk hair hangs sleekly down my back. My not-too-bad curves are banging in this slim-fitting dress, and my eyes are alight with joy. Sure, I might look a little better with some of Brad's makeup artistry on my face, but I think I could turn a head or two tonight. Grabbing my purse from under the counter, I'm ready to celebrate. I head out to my car, and 20 minutes later, I pull up in front of the Mountain Spirit Resort Hotel, the biggest key in the success of my boutique. Really, I didn't plan the similarities in our names, and the management here is totally cool with it, especially considering I'd been here for a couple of years before they even laid the resort's foundation. A single woman walking into the bar at the local resort would usually seem like the start to a tasteless joke, but this place is really a gathering spot for locals and tourists alike. Besides, it's got the best views of the whole valley and great music. While the old Grand Waterways, south of us, might have a better spread of buffet food, I'm not looking to stuff my face. I'm here to celebrate. I perch on a bar stool near the wall, ordering a michelada with an extra twist of lime. Sure, beer and Bloody Mary mix might be weird to some people, but it's good shit, and it's my thing. When the bartender delivers, I lift it up slightly, closing my eyes momentarily in a silent toast to my future. Relaxing as the spicy goodness creeps down my throat, I sigh happily. The music's just right. Real bluesy rock that isn't quite Roadhouse, but certainly isn't pop rock. Just right for getting my damn groove on. And after finishing off half my drink, I wonder which should come first, dancing or food. My question is quickly answered a moment later, as a guy approaches and pulls out the stool beside me, resting on the edge of it but facing me. "Hey, gorgeous. How are you doing tonight?" he asks, all swagger and cockiness in his designer jeans and shirt that's a clear Ralph Lauren knockoff. He's not too bad, but all of my switches are saying nope. Doing okay, I reply politely, trying to say with body language that I'm not interested.
So, you looking for some company? Because I gotta tell you, I would love to see if our companies could merge for the night.
Ugh, really? That's like nerdy and creepy at the same time. Still, I shake my head and don't throw my glass at his chest. Sorry, I'm here to celebrate myself tonight, but thanks for the offer. Luckily, he takes the hint and meanders off, leaving me to enjoy the rest of my drink. I'm debating whether to get a second glass when I see a man among men walk around me toward the bar. Tall, dark, and handsome. Check to the check. He turns, glancing to the side, and I nearly have a heart attack when I see that he's got a jawline that makes Mr. Superman sperm donor look like a total softy. He's been sitting a bit behind me, in my blind spot, so I hadn't noticed him. But I'm sure noticing him now. I surreptitiously try to look him over more thoroughly, but it's difficult in the mood lighting of the bar. Dark waves flop down over his light olive complexion, just in line with my eyesight, so I can't even see much more than his fine aquiline nose. But I can see his broad shoulders and a swell to his chest that nearly leaps off his torso in thick slabs of muscle. He's got to be ripped as tight as that waistline looks. I can even see the ripple of muscle under his thermal shirt. He must feel my eyes on him, because he drops his hand after ordering a drink and turns, his eyes meeting mine as soon as he turns. They widen just slightly, and I get to see his face completely. He's even got piercing eyes, a dramatic golden hazel that glimmers in the light. I smile at him, a little flirty, but not too forward, and I'm rewarded by a flash of white teeth and a set of dimples deep enough to swim in. I watch, enthralled, as he picks up his beer and a yellow tablet from the bar and strides toward me. I follow him with my eyes until he's standing right beside me. His deep voice is smooth as silk as he asks,
"Mind if I sit down?"
My tongue feels thick in my mouth, and I'm not sure I can speak just yet, so I make an offering motion with my open hand, my smile growing wider.
To hell with it. Celebrating by myself is lame.
I can certainly celebrate with a fine-looking man like this without any problems. He offers a hand, and as soon as I take it, I feel a spark shoot from my hand through my whole body.
I'm Nicholas Broadmoor. Nick, for short. And you are?
Rose, I say, my heart hammering in my chest. I feel like I've just dropped into a movie where there should be music playing in the background to tell everyone watching, "Hey, big shit's going down." Rose Samuelson. Nick smiles and sits down.
I would love to say a beautiful name for a beautiful lady, but I know that sounds like a pretty lame pickup line. It's not, it's just the truth.
He shrugs as if I'll never believe him, but he wanted to say it anyway. I laugh a little, caught off guard that this gorgeous man could possibly be calling me beautiful. I mean, I'm pretty enough, I guess. I even thought that about myself when I put on this dress back at the boutique. But it's not something I hear from a man often, if at all. Especially not one like this fine specimen here. Something about the way he calls me beautiful feels like the best compliment I'll ever receive. I decide right here and now to order another drink and see where this goes. Well, Nick, I suppose everyone's allowed one bit of corn in a first conversation, I reply. So, what brings you to the resort?
Work and pleasure.
Nick admits.
I'm a vice president of sales for Adrenaline Sports.
Adrenaline? I ask. They're not the biggest sporting goods name in our part of the country, but they're up there, and I've checked out their site a time or two. Thinking of opening a store in town?
No, I handle direct sales,
Nick says.
We don't have too many traditional stores. They're a remnant of a merger we did a while back. The resort's looking at stocking some stuff they'd rent to guests.
I nod, impressed. You must be into sports yourself. Nick grins, looking boyish as well as handsome as hell.
I've done outdoor sports for a long time. Hiking, mountain biking, skiing, kayaking, ATVs. Hell, if I could do it outside, I've done it. Of course, they don't make a lot of college scholarships for being able to do Spartan races. So I got my MBA and turned my passion into my job. So far, it's worked out. How about you? What do you do?
I blush. I hate trying to talk about myself, but I know it's part of the dance. I have a boutique in town. It's a small place, but I get to be my own boss, which is nice.
That's very true,
Nick admits.
Except you don't have anyone to bitch to when the boss makes you work overtime.
I laugh, nodding. I haven't really thought about it that way. Nick laughs.
So, what do you like to do besides work?
I wouldn't know, I admit with a laugh. I mean, years ago, I liked doing outdoor stuff. But I've been spending almost all of my time indoors. I'm just glad the local gym downtown is open until midnight and has a good set of rowing machines. Nick hums, looking me over again and making my skin tingle.
I'd say your gym deserves credit then. You too.
I feel my heart start hammering again. The way he's looking at me makes me feel like I haven't felt in a very long time. So, how did the meeting go? Nick chuckles ruefully and sips his drink.
Not as good as I'd hoped. Let's just say that I need to talk with the head office to make sure this isn't just a great tax write-off trip.
I laugh. He's not cocky, but confident. So, drowning your sorrows?
Nope, not that kind of guy,
Nick admits.
I'm going to step back, reformulate my plans, and meet again with the general manager tomorrow afternoon. This time, I'm not going to walk out without a handshake at the least.
His go-getter attitude and willingness to use his brain impress me. He's the kind who knows what he's going after and is going to get it. Sounds like a good plan.
Do you do business with a resort here?
He asks. I offer dress rentals, but they've got their own shop, I admit. When they need something new and hot, they check in with me. To be honest, though, it's after work, and I promised myself this would be a relax and let loose night. How long are you going to be in town? Nick smiles. He catches the point, but a hint of regret touches his sparkling eyes.
If you'd asked me this morning, I'd have said until tomorrow and been glad about it. Now, well, regretfully, tomorrow.
His answer disappoints me. I just met him and he's leaving town in just 24 hours. Just my fucking luck. I meet the first guy in a long time who's not only hot as hell, but he clicks with me. I'm sorry to hear that. He reaches out, laying a fingertip on the back of my hand, moving it in little circles that leaves me biting my lip. I can easily imagine him circling my clit the same way, and by the look in his eye, that's exactly what he's thinking.
You know,
he says in a deep, commanding voice,
there's nothing wrong with making the most of every moment.
Inside, I'm mentally telling myself to go for it. Do it, the little devil who sounds remarkably like Brad on my shoulder says. Fuck him. Suck that huge cock you know he's got and get him begging to fuck you. Why the hell not? I've never had a one-night stand before. And everyone's got a first time for everything. Maybe I'll mark, do something crazy off my to-do list after all. Before I can answer, Nick leans forward, taking the decision out of my hands. There's a half second of anticipation as he hesitates a breath's width away before our lips meet, and I know exactly what's going to happen. The blood rushes in my ears as Nick's lips caress mine. Damn, he's an awesome kisser. I wonder what else he's good at. Hell, I'm going to find out one way or another. Maybe a little different than planned, but I'm celebrating big tonight. One last hurrah before I happily tie myself down with a baby from donor X377A.
Chapter 4. Nicholas. I feel half-hypnotized following Rose down the hallway to my room. My mind is focused on the sway of her ass in front of me, teasing me along like the Pied Piper of booty. I know I should be focused on how logically this makes no damn sense, and I should be doing anything but bringing her to my room. But I can't deny that I want her, and I can't deny this amazing, almost instant connection we have. When I left the general manager's office here at the resort, I certainly hadn't planned on meeting anyone tonight. I'd gone back up to my room, changed out of my suit and into some exercise clothes, and ran a 4-mile trail run just because I needed to get my damn head right to think of my next strategy. Nothing gets my brain working better than the smell of fresh pine, and by the time I got back and showered up, I threw on a t-shirt and jeans to work in the bar over a few relaxing drinks. I mean, What's wrong with a nice highball before dinner? I never thought I'd meet a fucking angel in a dress that sends my hormones into overdrive and my brain into spasms of laughter. But Rose has kept me engaged, laughing and enjoying myself as we talked through work and life, and nothing at all. It's like talking to her has been as soothing as a long hot shower, and as exciting as whitewater kayaking. She's smart and funny with a quick, warm laugh that sends tingles down my spine. Still, regardless of how perfect she is, I never dreamed of getting laid. I'm not going to be in town past tomorrow afternoon. As it is, I'm going to have to squeeze in the meeting with the GM before catching the red eye back home. One-night stands? Totally not my style. Whether I've been in a relationship at the time or not, I'm not the sort to take road comfort. I get the feeling it's not hers either. So what the fuck is it about tonight that's making both of us go a little wild? Maybe it's a full moon. I remember seeing the moon just crest over the mountains as I ran, but I can't remember if it was full. All I can remember right now is the flush on Rose's cheeks. Whatever it is, I'm damn thankful because I think we're about to rock each other's world. I can feel it when she glances over her shoulder and in the magnetic tension between our bodies when I walked her up the stairs, my hand resting just on the upper curve of her hip. We get to my room, and I wasn't lying in that the company paid well for the tax write-off. My bosses thought that by renting a suite rather than a single room, it'd make that sort of unconscious good impression that could help me seal the deal. Whatever. I'm doubly glad for it, as Rose stands aside and lets me insert the card key, the glow of the green light seeming to signal both the opening of the door and that we're actually doing this. Not a word passes our lips as I turn the handle and push it open, holding it open for her. We step into the still darkness, and as the door slowly closes on its pneumatic arm, there's a breath where I think she's changed her mind. Hell, maybe I've changed my mind. The part of me that puts on a tie Monday through Friday says this could be the worst decision of my life. I mean, I don't know this woman. She could be carrying everything between her legs under the damn sun. But I know that's not true the moment our eyes meet, and I can see the heated need in her big blue eyes. She's like me. Someone who's worked to make their mark in the world. Someone who's sacrificed hours and hours. Sacrificed relationships. Maybe even sacrificed a part of ourselves that we didn't even realize was missing until we woke up one morning, looked in the mirror, and wondered, what the fuck is going on? No. Rose is pure and clean, and like me, she needs this. So, I move closer, slowly, so as not to startle her, and lift a hand up to cup her cheek. She turns into my touch, a soft sigh escaping as her lips part. Nick, I know, I whisper, as the need to taste her sweet lips overtakes me. I cover her mouth with mine, kissing her softly at first, but the sparks ignite, and quickly, our kisses are passionate, her tongue dipping into a tangle with mine. Moaning deep in my chest, at the velvety feeling of her mouth against mine, I nibble at her bottom lip, pulling her body flush with mine and wrapping my arms tightly around her waist to hold her to me. Rose lets out a little whimper and tilts her head back, and I take the invitation, kissing down her neck to the line of cleavage pressed upward by her tight-fitting dress. She even tastes good, her skin lightly spicing and smelling almost like cinnamon as I bury my nose in the dark valley of her cleavage. She pulls away from me, sliding along the wall to gain a little separation from me. And I'm disappointed for a moment, thinking she's changed her mind about whatever craziness this is. But instead, she turns in front of me, giving me her back. My zipper. My heart and my cock leap, one pushing only slightly more painfully within its restraints. And with surprisingly steady hands, I reach up and slide the zipper down, exposing more and more of her back with every inch. Her skin is flawless, and as I ease the dress over her shoulders, my fingertips whisper that they found perfection, and no woman could ever compare to what they're feeling. The interplay of soft skin and an undeniable feminine essence combines to weave a magic spell that captures part of me that'll never be the same again. My cock pulses achingly in my pants, heavy and nearly oozing pre-cum already, and we've barely started. Desperate for another taste of the angel in front of me, I lean forward to press a soft kiss to her bare shoulder, grinding against her ass a little. Do you feel that, sweet Rose? That's what you do to me. And tonight, it's all yours. She presses back, humming in appreciation as she swirls her hips against me. Her ass presses against my cock with a deep cleft that awakens a desire within me. Could she be truly perfect for me? I reach around, pulling her tighter, and she whimpers.
Is that what you like?
Maybe, I rumble in her ear. You think you could take me?
I'd try,
she says in a voice that tells me while she might have fantasies of what I'm talking about, she has no idea what the reality's like. I loosen my grip, letting her spin back around to lower the top of her dress. She smiles, reaching behind her to undo the clasp, dropping her bra away. Perfection, I rasp, as everything but her panties fall toward the floor. Her nipples are already hard, and they're calling to me. With a soft growl, I bend my knees and cup her tits in my hands, burying my head so low that my words are almost lost in her chest. Rose, fuck, you're gorgeous. I want to lick these little pink nipples, suck them deep into my mouth, bite them until they stay hard for me. Tell me you want that, Rose. Her eyes sparkle with desire as I tell her what I want, and she arches, hissing out a breathy, yes. Needing no more invitation, I dive in, layering kisses with long, swirling licks around her breasts before focusing on what we both want. I tease and suckle on her nipples, flicking them with the tip of my tongue until they're hard, like twin pencil erasers chewing between my teeth. Rose wraps her fingers through my hair, holding me to her, and I add a slight pinch to her other nipple, making her gasp in delight.
Nick, oh fuck yes. More. Don't stop.
Eager to bring this beautiful angel to ultimate satisfaction, I drop to my knees, kissing down her belly while tracing her curves with my hands to reach the remnant of her dress that's clinging to her right hip, caught between her natural curves and the wall behind her. Pushing it down, I offer Rose my hand, and she takes it, another spark jumping between us as she daintily steps out of the dress. I look up at her, my breath hot on her soaked panties, and she bites her lip in invitation, spreading her thighs as best she can without moving her feet. I kiss just on the edge of her panties and run my hands up from her ankles to her hips, learning her amazing legs. The feel of her ass under my hands is amazing, and I stroke a slow fingertip up and down her crack, making her gasp and tremble. Yes, my sweet angel, you've got a dirty side. But not this time. I need something else tonight. Reaching around, I encourage her to spread her legs a little more so I can cup her pussy. Resting my palm against the hot, damp silk, my throat goes parched, and I look up into her huge blue eyes. Rose, you're so wet for me, I murmur, smiling. I need to taste you.
Please,
she whispers desperately.
I need you.
She trembles at my words, until she's nearly like a plucked guitar string, and I help her slip her panties down to her knees, leaving them there to lock her legs a little bit as she leans back against the wall to give me unfettered access. My eyes lock onto the coral pink lips of her succulent pussy, bare and shining. Cupping her ass, I lean forward and dip the tongue of my tongue to her clit, making small circles around it. She shudders, unintelligible soft sounds of pleasure erupting from between her lips with every stroke. Wrapping my arms around her, I hold her still, keeping her upright, and I start licking and sucking her pussy with one mission in mind. Do you like that, Rose? Fuck, I know I do. You taste so sweet. I could eat you all night. I want to taste your honey on my tongue. I flicker my tongue over her clit, teasing it with feather-light licks that make her shake from head to toe. Rose reaches down, clutching at my hair and pulling me in tighter, giving herself over to the dangerous desire pounding through our veins.
Ah, fuck, Nick.
Before she even gets my full name out, she shatters in my hands, her orgasm overtaking her and making her grind her pussy against my hungry lips, filling my mouth and coating me from my nose to my chin in shiny deliciousness. Before her legs give way, I prop her up, lifting her with my hands on her ass, never stopping the delightful torture to her hard little clit.
Nick, please, I...
Rose begs, and I pull back, looking up at her eyes, her pupils so dilated they barely show any of her baby blues. She's shattered, rocked to her very core, and I know that any more would take her from pleasure to pain. That's not what I want, so I wipe my mouth with the back of my hand, nodding reassuringly. I stand up and pull her close, covering her mouth with mine, kissing her deeply, and letting her taste herself on my tongue. See how sweet you are? She nods shyly, and I lead her toward the bed, her panties falling off as she follows my lead. Her knees hit the edge of the bed, and I ease her back, the soft bedding catching her fall as she rests on her elbows. I virtually rip my shirt off, the clingy fabric peeling from my skin so quickly, I feel static crackling in the light hairs on my chest. My pants join my shirt just as fast, and I suspect that I've popped a button on my fly from the sound. To hell with it. I don't need them anymore. I pause before I drop my boxer briefs, feeling her eyes roving my body appreciatively. Like what you see? She nods in awe, her eyes tracing every muscle. Her eyes lock onto my groin as she holds her breath in anticipation. I smirk, hooking my thumbs into the waistband of my underpants and pushing them down, letting her see what she's getting tonight. Before they even hit the ground, a smile breaks out across her face.
Holy shit, Nick. That is... wow.
I notice she called me Nick again, and somehow from her, I like it. Most people in my life are colleagues or casual acquaintances, and they insist on calling me by my full name. She's not a colleague. She's something different. Something special.
In my purse, I've got a condom,
she says. I reach for her purse, handing it to her to retrieve the condom. I learned a long time, and a puncture wound ago, to never, ever go digging around in a woman's purse. You don't know what might be lurking in those clasped depths. She pulls the square package out and triumphantly rips it open with her teeth, sliding the tight rubber over my length. My head falls back, a moan escaping my chest as I feel her light touch along my cock, giving me a few strokes. I growl and pull her up, taking a second to make sure the condom is all the way down before kissing her again. She strokes me lightly and nibbles at my throat.
Nick, please, fuck me.
I feel that same strange sense of destiny, of never having this opportunity again take over, and I nod. I climb over her, caging her in with an arm on either side as I cover her with my body. We kiss, our bodies pressing together, warm in the cool room's air, as I stroke her skin, feeling her legs rub against my hips. She shifts, and I feel the hot length of my stiff cock slide over her lips, the underside rubbing against her clit and making her moan thickly into my mouth. Put me inside you, Rose, I growl into her ear. You want it this way? Then take my cock in your soft hands and guide me in. I feel her reach down, the silky whisper of her fingers lightly grasping my cock, adding a couple more strokes down my shaft and rubbing my tip along her lips and clit a few times. She's so wet, and I know she doesn't need it, but there's something in her eyes that says she's feeling the same way I do. This is perfection, and perfection only comes once in your lifetime, unless you're incredibly lucky. She's going to enjoy this as much as she can. Eventually, she lines me up, the head of my cock pressed against her entrance, and she lets go, giving me total control. I can feel her already pulsing with need, her pussy trying to draw me in, and I brace my hands on each side of her head, looking into her eyes. I see my need mirrored in her eyes, and slowly and steadily, I press inside. She's tight, vibrating with need, to the point that I can feel her heartbeat through my cock as she squeezes me. I can see fear in her eyes, and I reach up, stroking a wisp of hair out of her eyes. Relax. I've got you. She nods, taking a deep breath as I pull back a bit, thrusting in a little farther in the next moment, giving her slow strokes to let her adjust to me. I take my time, relishing the nearly virginal feeling of her body underneath me. This will be a fuck we'll both remember for the rest of our lives. It feels like an eternity of delicious torment until I'm fully engulfed in her hot, slick pussy, and I pause just a moment to memorize the feeling of being completely inside her. Our eyes meet, and she nods. The time for slow is over. Time to see how much we can explode. Passion takes over, and we pound into each other, hips striving harder and faster as I lift her up off the bed with every hammering thrust. Rose reaches down to grab my ass, pulling me into her, wanting more. I push her legs up higher, nearly rolling her in half as my hips slam into hers, my cock hammering her body into total ecstasy. She gives it back, squeezing me each time I thrust and clutching at my arms. Needing to feel more of her, I let her legs down to the bed, driving into her as I press her into the bed with the weight of my body. I bury my face in her neck, her hair splayed all over me, but I don't care because I want to be surrounded by her in every way, and I want to engulf her with my body. I grab her hands, entwining our fingers and pressing them to the bed over her head as I continue pumping into her. Our lips meet in a searing kiss that seems to join our very souls, and I tighten my grip, desperate in this instant to get a lifetime's worth of memories from our moment of passion. Her cries get louder, and I know she's on the edge, right there alongside me. Pulling back, I press my forehead to hers, panting. Come with me, Rose. Fuck, come with me. Rose gasps something in reply, and I feel all the tension shoot out of my body, coming fiercely as I pump into her until I can't anymore, wishing I could have this feeling for the rest of my life. In the same instant, Rose screams out, falling into her own release. Nick! Oh, God! I hold deep inside her through her orgasm before my arms lose all strength, and I collapse onto her, shifting my weight off to the side a bit so I don't squash her. Rose cuddles against me, kissing my chin playfully. That was amazing. I cover her with kisses as I agree, humming as she giggles. Amazing. We lie there for several minutes, and I pull her close, wondering if we can enjoy the full evening like this. Rose, you want to stay the night? She turns, pressing her ass against my cock and humming.
Think you can take care of business one more time before we both need sleep?
I kiss the back of her neck and reach around, cupping her soft breast and tugging lightly at an already hardening nipple. I'm pretty sure. Rose uses her toes to tug a blanket halfway up our legs, giggling lightly.
Good, because I'm not ready to be done with you yet.
I smile against the soft cloud of hair and wiggle my cock against her ass. Neither am I.
Chapter 5. Rose. 2 months later. Walking up to the table late, I relish the heat from the diner's heater compared to the cold outside. Winter's really set her damn teeth in, and I'm bundled up pretty tightly. I pull down my hood to see that Brad and Trey are already seated along one side of the booth, and Trey's little sister, Anna, is sitting on the other side. I smile. It's good to see the girl again. I've hung out with Anna a few times, as we're both third wheels for Brad and Trey's dates. Yeah, I know, if there's two of us, we're not technically third wheels. But I definitely get that awkward, I shouldn't be here.